Welcome, everybody, and happy Tuesday afternoon. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show, and I am your host, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can always watch the show as well by going to Civic Media's YouTube channel, or you can check out at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram, The Book of Faces, and X. You can join us on each of those platforms, and of course, via the old-fashioned way, 855-752-4842. That is both the phone and text line. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to be joined by Angela Lang at 4:30 today. We're going to talk about her experiences at the No Kings March and some of her organization, Block's, recent activities to keep people engaged in this very difficult time for all involved on any side of any issue, as well as some of their upcoming events for this weekend. Can't wait to have that conversation. And at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Chicago attorney Robert Held. He was at one of the protests at an ICE facility outside of Chicago in recent weeks, where he was detained without charges by ICE for 8 hours. Held, again, without charges, without being told why he was being detained, and certainly without a phone call. We're going to talk to Mr. Held about his time in detention, courtesy of ICE. We've got some breaking news to start off this afternoon. According to reporting by NPR, a federal judge in San Francisco has now indefinitely halted the Trump administration's, and let's be clear here, Russ votes, mass layoffs of federal employees, ostensibly tied to the government shutdown. This decision came almost 2 weeks after this same U.S. federal court judge temporarily paused thousands of layoffs, or RIFs, reductions in force, at agencies where the federal employee unions that had brought the lawsuit have members or bargaining units. Interestingly, in court on Tuesday, an attorney representing the Trump administration pushed back, asserting that the executive branch can conduct RIFs at any point in time, and certainly before, during, or after a lapse in congressional appropriation to achieve the president's policy priorities, and then it's just good policy to do so. Weird. Yeah, not the law, basically, at all. The attorney for the plaintiffs in this lawsuit responded by saying that a lapse in appropriations due to a shutdown is not, obviously, the same thing as an elimination of statutory authority, and that the government or the executive branch can't simply tell agencies they no longer need to comply with congressional mandates. Watch this space, because I'm going to come back to this a little bit later in the show. Simply because you're in a shutdown does not mean that agencies do not have to comply with congressional mandates. You know, like SNAP funding? Okay, I'll come back to that. But just breaking news that just coming out within the last hour, a little bit over an hour. In other breaking news, remember when Donald Trump was like, yes, I have brought peace to the Middle East, nothing more going on here. Well, yeah, not really. Israel is launching and has launched new airstrikes in Gaza. Again, so much for that peace treaty, breaking a fragile 3-week ceasefire. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered the strikes, calling for, quote, immediate powerful attacks, and accused Hamas of violating the truce by targeting Israeli forces and mishandling the return of hostage remains. Hamas denied these claims, saying Israel is simply trying to back out of the deal. Okay, in case we all forgot, here's what Trump had to say when he was, you know, beating his chest about deserving the Nobel Peace Prize about this, I guess, no longer in existence peace treaty. Take a listen. It's cut 49.
Everybody is happy, whether it's Jewish or Muslim or the Arab countries. Every country is dancing in the streets, and it's a point in time I don't think you'd ever see it again. They've never seen it for 3,000 years. If you like one group, you don't like the other group. And if you like the other group, you don't like the first group. And this is the first time they've ever seen where everybody is unified, because, as you know, we're going to Egypt after Israel, and we're going to meet all of the leaders of the very powerful and big countries and very rich countries and others, and they're all into this deal. Everybody's into it. It's never happened before. So I would say this is a lot tougher, but we'll see how it all works.
Mr. President,
barely not working out much at all. Not so much. Those very rich countries, which Donald Trump and his family are very interested in doing all sorts of lucrative side deals with, because, of course, there's no specter of a conflict of interest at all. Yeah, so that's happening. Also, according to former senior Department of Homeland Security and Trump administration sources, there is a mass removal, purges, if you will, going on at the top levels of ICE leadership around the country. Apparently up to 12 ICE field office chiefs have been removed and reassigned in an effort to increase deportation numbers. This is being apparently, according to reports, being led by Corey Lewandowski. You know, that guy with zero law enforcement experience, zero immigration experience, never worked for ICE or the Department of Homeland Security or Customs and Border Patrol. Yeah, that guy. That disgraced dude who shoved a woman. Yeah, you might remember him, who's allegedly engaged in some years-long affair with DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. Yeah, that guy. He's the one that decides who stays and who goes. Apparently, these ICE regional office chiefs are going to be replaced by Customs and Border Patrol officials who have been handpicked by Lewandowski and Noem for their aggressiveness and, frankly, some of their controversial tactics. Also in the mix here, making some of these decisions, is Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino. Here are some of the ICE field offices that have had their chiefs removed. Again, this is reportedly Los Angeles, Phoenix, Philly, Denver, El Paso, San Diego, Seattle, Portland, and New Orleans. This is interesting. It's a little bit under the hood because most of us don't distinguish in our head between ICE agents and Customs and Border Patrol agents. But for folks that have worked in these different agencies, which are both divisions of the Department of Homeland Security, they do very different things. If you talk to folks that know about this, ICE agents typically conduct fairly well-researched, very targeted operations. These are more like law enforcement raids that are targeting folks that have criminal convictions already or who have been charged, i.e. with probable cause determinations in compliance with the Fourth Amendment, charged with serious criminal offenses, or who already have active deportation orders that have been at minimum reviewed by an immigration judge. Okay, but they know who they're targeting for detention and arrest related to either the criminal charges that meet the Fourth Amendment standard of probable cause determinations or have an active deportation order issued by an immigration judge. They often conduct surveillance. Again, think more along the lines of law enforcement. Customs and Border Patrol agents, on the other hand, are more known for these large-scale, round-them-up type operations. If you talk to folks who have worked in this space, I can summarize this by saying, CBP folks, cowboys. ICE, sometimes cowboys, but more operating like law enforcement, more targeted, more individual-specific. They know who they're going after. It's not just a round-them-up, worry about that pesky Constitution later. So this would be a big deal for long-standing career ICE officials who are leading these regional ICE offices to be removed at the direction of Corey Lewandowski and replaced by cowboy-type hand-picked, known aggressive, constitutionally suspect CBP agents. Not a good sign. And in another fit of constitutional unaccountability, Pete Hegseth hasn't quite had enough tamping down of our ability to hold the Department of Defense and our government more broadly accountable. Apparently, U.S. military officials that are involved in Donald Trump's expanded Latin American operations have been asked to sign NDAs. This is unheard of. In effect, this is a doubling down on this attempt to keep American people from being informed about what our military is up to. Now, just a couple of things worthy of note here. Of course, military officials cannot ever share classified operational details. They can't share classified operational details for operations that have already happened. What is the point of the NDAs other than to intimidate? There are already all kinds of secrecy laws in place. Again, this is coming in the wake of the fact that the Pentagon has deployed the Gerald Ford Carrier Group and about 10,000 troops in and around the Caribbean for these, quote, counter-narcotics missions. Though experts say that the use of military force in this way is not being used for folks that are legitimate or have had a factual finding that meets the international law of war standard to declare someone an enemy combatant. Wow. We're going to get into that discussion as well a bit later. I will be getting into SNAP, the shutdown, the ACA benefits, as well as numerous recent comments by none other than Republican Senator Rand Paul about the fact that these are nearly certainly illegal killings that are happening in the Caribbean. We're going to get into the ACA in a bit, as I promised, likely at 5:30. But I did want to just share one other bit of local news before we take care of some of our first set of messages this afternoon. Governor Evers' $1 billion plan to overhaul Wisconsin's aging prison system advanced this afternoon with bipartisan support after a subcommittee approved $15 million for analysis and planning. It's about time. Governor Evers said, let's just get this GD done, please. We've been talking about this for too long. That sounds like Tony, doesn't it? We'll continue with more of today's headlines. We'll get into AG Call's lawsuit against the administration next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.